Welcome to the Index Podcast, hosted by Alex Kahaya. Plug in as we explore new frontiers with Web3 and the decentralized future.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Index, brought to you by The Graph, where we talk with the entrepreneurs building the next wave of the internet. We do this because we believe that people are worth knowing. We believe in telling their stories so that you can learn why they are here pushing for a better future. Today, I'm excited to welcome Sandy Carter, COO of Unstoppable Domains. They're a blockchain company creating user-owned digital identities for everyone on Earth. I love Unstoppable Domains, have interviewed Brad from their team in the past, and I'm super excited to have Sandy here. She's got some good announcements for everybody to hear about today, and thanks so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here and very excited to talk about our announcements as well.
And I am too. Before we get into that, though, I would love for you to just tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into this space. Like, walk me through some of your career and like share more about where you've been.
Yeah. So it's really, I think, a great story. So I have really gone in and out of startups. So I was at IBM for a while. I went and started my own startup. Then I went to Amazon Web Services. At Amazon, I was asked to build out our first enterprise division, which I was able to do. Grew that to over $5 billion, which was really exciting. And then I was really directed to look at some of the emerging tech that we had coming up. And so the emerging tech, obviously built on the cloud, was AI, blockchain, AR, and VR. So super cool, right? Looking at how our customers were using stuff. And so I started going down the rabbit hole with blockchain, and I just fell in love with the chain, like its power, its immutability, its security. There was just so many different things. I started doing side projects, you know, while I was helping my customers out do that. And then also looking at AR and VR and, you know, spatial computing and where that was going led me down the rabbit hole for the metaverse and where that was coming. So I started doing side projects on my own, just discovering more about the power of these technologies. And it just so happened that Matt, I don't know if you met Matt yet or not, but he's our co-founder and CEO. He flew up to Seattle, where I was living for Amazon, had dinner with me, talked about the future for digital identity platform, why it was needed. And I was pretty much sold at that time. So I then came back to a startup. So, you know, as I said, I've gone like startup, big company, now at a startup.
Awesome. What at that dinner sparked your interest? Why does digital identity matter? And where does that intersect with blockchain technology?
Yeah. So, you know, Unstoppable is a digital identity platform, and we sit on top of a layer two Polygon that sits on top of Ethereum. And so it's all interdependent. It's all built on chain. Why digital identity was so important to me is there is so much power in digital identity. First, so many people start their Web3 journey by going in through digital identity, building their Web3 brand, you know, doing that first transaction in crypto, right? Instead of typing in that long set of letters and numbers, being able to use Sandy.nft to do that. So it's really like that first entry point. But there is so much long-term power here too. Like, think about your digital identity of the future. So I have two daughters, and they're like all about Roblox and what you're doing digitally and digital assets and protecting your information about yourself. So the next generation is going to leverage a digital identity like you and I do today with a physical identity. There's so much power there. You know, today we're storing things like education as a soulbound token, or we're storing things like, you know, we support the climate. So you get a certificate that shows that you've made your NFTs carbon neutral, or even, you know, like a ticket that you have from a Gary Vee conference. You have all of that. But in the future, I think there'll be more and more things stored. We already know that California is experimenting with, you know, car titles being NFTs that you might store in that digital identity. Gosh, there are just so many endless possibilities, which is why I got so excited at that dinner to be a part of the future.
I think one of the important things about this is right now, my digital identity is on like Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. Most of those companies, they call Meta and Twitter and like LinkedIn, right? Like, these are the important areas. They're all really centralized, and they don't really allow you to take that identity or the things you've accumulated on their platform as part of your identity, like your audience, with you. And I think that's a profound problem that blockchain technology solves through self-custody, right? The ability to self-custody and composability, right? So you can take it with you to other platforms and leverage those things that you were just talking about, like my driver's license, like I might need that, or like being KYC'd somewhere, right? So know your customer. I might need that on multiple platforms. And like every time I go to a different platform that needs it, I got to redo the whole KYC process. Well, what if I just like plugged in my Unstoppable Domains name and that would solve that problem? Am I on the right track here? I'm just like trying to make sure I'm following correctly where you guys are going.
So today on Web 2, you are right. You do have a digital identity, but it's really not your identity. It's really their identity. It's the platform's identity. And it's the way you sign into, you know, Google or Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or any of those things. The problem is, and in fact, this morning, a company that I advise, their Facebook page was taken down and she doesn't know why. She has no idea. Why was that Facebook page taken down? She doesn't know. She doesn't think she did anything wrong. She has a million customers out there and then they're like, where did you go? So that's the problem with having a centralized entity really kind of be the guardian of that. So flip to Web3 with Unstoppable. Now that identity, Sandy.NFT, I can take that and I can log into over 500 different dApps or decentralized applications. I can transact with 170 different wallets and that identity travels with me. So I can log into a DeFi application, decentralized finance application, or I can log into a metaverse, or I can log into Atari's game. Now, all that data that I'm accumulating is now my data. And that's really going to cause a lot of disruption too on company side. Like think about marketeers who are used to buying lists from Facebook now have to convince me to give them my data directly. So it's a really exciting time to be here. And I think it's a question of when this happens, not if it happens, just how long will it take?
I mean, I've spent the last 2 years building a company called Olaplex. We have a product that's called Hub, and it's at its core, it's create, manage, analyze digital asset campaigns. So a lot of these digital assets you're talking about that would be tied to your identity, our software makes it easy for enterprises to just create, like click buttons and create. But our why at that company is control your destiny. And that's what this boils down to. Like the true power of Web3 is the ability for an individual or a brand or a company to control its own destiny. How you control your destiny is by using open source software that runs on top of permissionless open blockchain networks like Polygon, like Solana, like Ethereum. That's how you can achieve that if you start adopting these new technologies. Now, the where I see like Unstoppable fitting in is you guys have made it easy to acquire that first piece, right? Which is like, you know, I think you guys have started out like closer to like a domain registrar for Web3. But I've watched the journey go towards identity, which makes a lot of sense. Because honestly, I own Kahaya.com. That is another version of my identity. It's part of my identity. It's part of my personal brand. Although I have nothing hosted there anymore because a centralized service took down my websites.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Bluehost did. It was hosting my websites. It was just like my personal blog and resume. All of the Bluehost servers that were shared, like I had shared Bluehost servers with other people's websites on there. One of them got infected with a virus and it just went away. And I couldn't take any of that data. I couldn't get access to it unless I paid them like $1,000 and it wasn't worth it to me. That's just another like case in point. I lost like years of content that way. Anyway, I digress. For me, it boils down towards that, like the ability to control your destiny. And that's why I've been in this space like since 2016 is because I believe in that. I believe in that power of that. And so, all right, you're now at Unstoppable. You believe in this technology. You found it. You got red-pilled like the rest of us who've been working in this space. What have you been doing at Unstoppable? Like, I know your role as a COO. You guys have some exciting stuff coming up. Walk me through what you've been doing since you joined the company and tell me a little bit more about where you're going.
Yeah, well, the first thing we decided that I would focus on is building up utility for the domain. So I believe very strongly that an NFT that's a picture may have a fleeting value, right? It's a hype cycle, but utility is greater than hype. And so utility is going to be in the end what adds value to people. And so when I came in, we had 41 integrations, and a technical integration means that you have value with that domain because you can do something. And we are now up to 870 different integrations, which means that now you can use your domain for email. You can still use it for those crypto payments, but now we support 170 wallets. So one of your favorite wallets has to be in there, whether it, even if it's one of the new ones like Timeless or Croesus, which are now geared for Web2 users. And so that was my first focus, was to get more utility and to get us on the map with utility. Now that really started the flywheel, that concept that comes from Amazon, because as we got more utility, more people bought our domains. So we went now to being the number one domain provider in the market. We have 3.6 million digital identities out there, which is represented as a domain. So 3.6 million people have their digital identity. And that's up from about 600,000 when I started to 3.6 million now that are leveraging and using it. And you may ask, so now has that utility gone up? It has. Just one number that I'll give you. Every week, we have 30 million calls to our resolution API. That resolution API takes Sandy.nft and it translates it into a crypto wallet address. So that means 30 million times a week that resolution is going on. So that's how much usage is out there. And that's where I believe the real value will come. So if you ask me my focus, it's all about customer obsession. It's all about getting value into the hands of the customers. The second big focus I've been driving into is something called our Web3 Domain Alliance. And that's really about, you know, making sure that we're protecting that extension, that digital identity for you against collision. So unlike in Web 2, where you've got something called ICANN, so that's why .com is protected, we want to make sure that Sandy.nft is protected and you don't ever have to worry about your Sandy.nft website, for example. So we've been forming that alliance. We have 57 different companies who have joined so far to join us in more of a Web3 ethos type of ICANN society. So what's coming up on the future? We have two big announcements that really fit into those buckets. The first one is to complement utility. We built a marketplace. So now these are pretty common in the Web2 world, right? You've got, you know, marketplaces like Amazon that sell you goods. You've got marketplaces for software like Google has a marketplace where you can buy software. We really didn't see any Web3 marketplaces where you could go and find all the applications that you could play with that are Web3. So we have now formed that marketplace. It's the first one that we're aware of and the largest. We have 860 different applications that are present there. This we think is really good for our consumers because it allows them to kind of now see what they can use. It's also good for our partners because now they can get visibility, get eyeballs on that to hopefully grow the entire Web3 ecosystem. And then our second announcement is really around how you buy your digital identity. So today, you know, when you come into Unstoppable, typically people will say, oh, I like Sandy.nft, but I want to protect my brand across everything, just like you do in Web2, right? You might buy .com and .io and .xy. You want to do the same thing here. So we're the largest out there. So people would come in and buy Sandy.nft and Sandy.crypto. We've just announced that we have now added .eth into that equation too. So now you take the top two digital identity companies, and now you've got a one-stop shop for both of those. But it even goes further than that. So if you buy that .eth from Unstoppable, and let's say you're a newbie, right, or what we call normies, you can now place that into a vault. So you don't even have to have a crypto wallet. I know a lot of people won't even allow wallet to be used. In fact, I was just with a Web2 company that said, never say the word wallet on this call. So you can put your domain into a vault. You don't have to set up a wallet. You can also pay for it with a credit card or with PayPal. So you don't have to do crypto transactions. And we have also set up auto renewal. So, you know, a lot of people who have .eth, they'll forget. And so they'll lose that Sandy.eth because they forgot to renew it. Now you can do that auto renewal so that we'll remember for you and automatically renew it for you. So we're really excited because both of these announcements are good for the Web3 industry overall. And both of them are aimed at providing more value back to the end customer or the user that we have.
You mentioned the API on the back end. Is it that it just takes like sandy.nft and it knows which wallet address it's associated with? And so it sends the token from, make sure that the token address matches.
Like if that's right.
With the supported wallet, like if it's like MetaMask or whatever.
Right. So I can associate with, we actually have a profile now that builds out, and you can associate with sandy.nft a whole set of wallets. You also have on your profile page, now you can really aggregate all the data that's coming in from all of your wallets. I don't know how many wallets you have. I think I have 11, but I aggregate all my data there. I can go to it and look at it. So if you go to ud.me/sandy.nft, you can see my NFT collections. You can see my education certificates. You can see my tickets to the Gary Vee show or to the Super Bowl. All that is visible if I allow you to, right? Everything again is user controlled, user owned. So I can pull all that up. It's all aggregated from multiple types of wallets or holding places as well.
You mentioned earlier in the show that you're on Polygon, but it would seem to me that you can route NFTs kind of automatically by detecting which chain they were sent from. But like the user doesn't have to know the difference with like, I could be sandy.nft. I could send an NFT on Solana to my sandy.nft address and it will go to a Solana wallet as long as you've integrated that on your backend.
That's right. Yeah. I just went through all of our integrations. I think there are 11 different EVM chains and Solana. There's a whole bunch of chains there. So you can log into any or all of those, but your unstoppable digital identity is minted on Polygon.
Got it. The NFT is held there. The ownership of the NFT that represents that identity is on Polygon, which is fine. I think for people who are listening to this and don't understand what like APIs are, or maybe not as technical, the TLDR here is like, you don't have to think about it. You just have an identity that's your address that people can send things to, whether it's an email that's on chain or a message or a ticket, like Sandy was saying from Gary Vee. They can send it to you and you don't have to worry about what chain it's on. If you haven't been playing in this space for a while and you haven't tried like different blockchains, there's a learning curve. There's like a big barrier to entry. The reason I love Unstoppable is because you guys hit on, it's not simple on the back end, but the idea is like, I just bought this identity and I can send stuff to it just like email. You know, it is very simple concept for mass adoption, right? Which is why you had 3.6 million customers who signed up. That's still the tiny, right? It's like still tiny. Like it's not even close to mass adoption yet.
Our mission is that we want to get a digital identity into everybody's hands. You know, we really view that digital identity as being a human right. Like you should own your digital identity. I would never think of giving my driver's license and my passport to somebody else, right? I own that. Why shouldn't it be the same for your digital identity? So our mission and our goal is very purposeful, and we do want to get that into the hands of every person. So I think there's what, like 3.7 billion people on the face of the planet. So we have a long way to go.
Your technology handles the routing of the assets across whatever chain based on sandy.nft. It must be some kind of a custodial wallet solution on the back end, right? Am I correct?
For sandy.nft?
Yeah, like all the wallet addresses that are associated with sandy.nft, is that a custodial wallet solution that's hosted by Unstoppable?
So we don't call it a wallet because it actually doesn't hold crypto. We do call it a vault. So it is a custodial element, but it's not a wallet per se. And we specifically do that because we don't want any of those 170 wallets that we talk about to think that we're trying to compete with them. We're not.
They're addresses. They're on-chain addresses though,
you
right?
Got it. Okay. You got it. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. And it's a custodial address. Like, let's say I just want to like, okay, it would suck to lose sandy.nft, but like maybe I'm tired of paying or I can't afford it or something. And I just want to transfer my assets out. Can I just like export the wallets or the addresses? Or do I have to like send each NFT off of Unstoppable into my own self-custody wallet? Like, how does that work?
Yeah. So I guess there's two points there. One, I wanted to make sure of is that when you buy your digital identity from Unstoppable, you actually own it. So there is no renewal, nothing like that, right? That does exist on .eth. That's how they've chosen to execute. But for
just
us,
.eth.
Yeah. Yeah. So for us, there is no renewal. You own it. You don't have to worry about that. But let's pretend like you want to transfer something else out. You can do that at any time. At any time, you really own it. It's just sitting in our vault. And so you can take it out of the vault and put it in your self-custody wallet at any time.
Yep. Okay. That was a good clarity because I picked up when you said that there was a renewal piece for the .eth and I had thought that it applied for everything. That is an important thing to note for everybody. If you're deciding which one to buy, if you want to buy a .eth versus all the other ones that they have on Unstoppable, me personally, I'm going to buy the one that I just like don't have to pay a renewal on just because that is truly owning the address. That is like the ultimate of your core values right there. And the .eth thing, that wasn't something you guys set up. It's like a partnership or something, it sounds like.
We wanted to offer .eth users the ability to buy in one place. One of the big buying patterns that we've seen is that when someone comes in, let's say, you know, I don't know if you knew this, but 11% of the Fortune 100 today actually own their Unstoppable identity. So if you come in, typically what they do is they buy everything. So they buy Sandy.NFT, Sandy.crypto, Sandy.DAO. And so now they can buy all of those. Plus they could buy Sandy.eth. Now I know I don't own Sandy.eth, by the way, but you could buy all of those. You could do a clean sweep and own everything, which is a big buying pattern. So that's why this one-stop shop for us was really important. And we're also looking to host other naming services too. So if you're a naming service listening in, you know, we'd love to talk to you about bringing your TLDs to our site as well, because we do think making that buying experience easy, you know, most people would not call Web3 easy, but we want to try to make that first step into it as easy as possible. And we do think that that digital identity is that first step.
So let's say I'm a naming service on some other chain. That's what you're talking about, right? Like different chain.
Yep. It could be another.
They could have multiple, right? Yeah. There could be multiple ones, but I'm a different naming service. How do I get on to Unstoppable so people can buy my TLDs there? And what's the relationship there? Is it like some kind of referral fee or a rev share? What do you guys typically do for people?
Yeah. So we would do a rev share. So if you had a naming service, let's say it was on BNB chain, or on Bitcoin, you could bring it over. We would sell it on our site. So again, you could be that one, you know, have that one-stop shop. We would do a rev share with you, you know, as we help bring eyeballs to the site and value. We would also do that as a rev share. The other interesting thing is that we have the resolver. So if you think about those 870 applications today, we build a resolver to resolve Sandy.NFT in all of those applications. So if you are another naming service too, we won't do this for free, but we do have as a service that resolver as a service. So then you could also gain access to a lot of those integrations, which I think adds a lot of value to users as well.
Okay. That makes a whole lot of sense. This has been really insightful for me. Like there was a lot of things that I didn't know about how Unstoppable worked actually. I think I own Kahaya, like the various versions of my last name on there. Although now I'm thinking I might need to see if the Alex is available. I doubt it. I doubt the first name is available.
But try it and see how many Alexes you can get across the board. Let me know if you need help with that for sure.
I will. Okay. So you got these big announcements coming up. It's like just to date it, it's next week, which would be around the 17th. We're not going to release this. And before then, obviously it'll be sometime after that. So the long-term vision for you guys is bring digital identities to everybody on the planet. Like, how do you achieve that? How do you reach, you know, a billion people? What are some of your hypotheses and Unstoppable strategies around how to get to that kind of scale?
One element of that strategy is that we reach out through other businesses who have users to try to get something that's unique to that community. So for example, you know, we launched a .polygon. Well, .polygon is really valuable to those in that Polygon ecosystem. The same is true with .blockchain. We did that in conjunction with blockchain.com. And so, you know, again, you're bringing users over from that. So from a Web3 perspective, a lot of those new TLDs or that extension, if you would, brings in new customers as you're moving. But the vast majority of the world today are Web2 users. So for example, we went to Dubai and Abu Dhabi, and we offered any female entrepreneur her digital identity, especially if she was working on a business, so that we could help them get started. So we're trying to reach out as well, not just to Web3 companies, but also to Web2 companies as well, to make this more widespread, again, to help the entire industry progress forward.
You guys enable this user experience that wasn't there before. I mean, just to educate people again, if you haven't like created your own wallet, I've created multiple wallets across multiple different chains. They're all different applications. You have to create this like 24 word seed phrase, and then you have to store that somewhere, and you have to store it somewhere securely, because you might think there's nothing of value going to be on that wallet, but at some point there might be. Those phrases are like your backup code, and you need this across like every single chain. It's a pain. It's a pain. And like for most people, they just don't need that. That's like crossing over into like, you're deeper into the Web3 space, right? This is not like somebody who just is used to signing in with Google. This is somebody who's like getting into DeFi and really cares about self-custody. And I think there's a time and a place for that. But we're just trying to onboard the next billion people. I think you do need these easy on-ramps. And then eventually they will work themselves down the funnel to these spaces where they're doing more technical things across multiple, they're getting into like the nitty gritty. They're even aware that they're using a different chain. Just having Sandy.NFT, and I can just get assets from any supported ecosystem and not have to worry about it, is a huge leg up. So exciting to see you guys grow that.
And I wish I could show your listeners the profile page, because the profile page, most Web2 people in particular who look at it, they say it looks just like a LinkedIn profile page, right? Where you have it's your brand and it shows your wallets, your avatars, and any of your collectibles that are there. But the power of it is that it's credentialed and it's verified. So imagine, I was just talking to LinkedIn the other day and they were telling me that 40% of people on LinkedIn who say they went to Harvard actually never went to Harvard.
That's crazy.
You can't credential it, right?
That is a huge amount of people. That is a lot bigger number than I would have imagined. That is.
And then this is another cool one. So I'm right here in Phoenix right now. We actually went to the Super Bowl in Phoenix. The organizers of one of the breakfasts we went to, they were telling me that if everybody who said they went to the Super Bowl went to the Super Bowl would be 10x the size that it was. So people will say, I went to the Super Bowl, but they didn't go to the Super Bowl. But there's no way to prove that you went to the Super Bowl, which is one of the reasons they did the NFT ticket, right? So now you have the NFT ticket in your digital wallet. So the value of this is it's so much more than just, you know, this wallet transaction or a website. You've got this profile that's now credentialed and verified. So with so many things popping up now with AI, you know, people are really worried about trust. Like, can I trust what you said? Are you the person who said it? Did someone else say it? Is this really my video that you're seeing right now? And so I think that blockchain is really going to take off because of everything that's happening with AI. People are looking for credentialed and trusted data. And that's what you've got here. So you should take a look at, I'll show you the profile page, because it's really powerful. All credential data, which is, I think, such a big asset today and almost will become essential, I believe, in 6 months.
Amazing. Yeah, well, that's 6 months. That's close. That's light speed, which is exciting to hear.
Yeah, and you see how fast that AI is growing, right? And that's what's causing the need. I just spoke at an AI conference, and they invited me in because they wanted me to talk about how blockchain could help protect against deep fakes. This was the number one issue for enterprises adopting AI, is how do I verify that this is my video? You know, we've all seen the Tom Cruise video that's not Tom Cruise, right? Or the Pope's picture in the puffer that's not really the Pope. How do you verify the data? And that's one of the value points that Unstoppable and Web3 bring to the table. That's why I think it's going to be fast.
Let's dig into that a little bit, because this is where you start getting into privacy issues. I met the CEO of a company, Aleo. Have you heard of Aleo? A-L-E-O? So they're a new layer one that's coming out, and it's ZK-proof technology under the hood. Definitely worth checking out, because identity and privacy is a big focus of theirs, and maybe there's something y'all can do together. I can connect you with them off the show.
I love that.
But when you're starting to verify this kind of stuff, it can be sensitive data. Like, if you really want to have like a rock solid verification that this is a company, right? Then you're asking like an executive to probably KYC and storing that data as part of the certificate. I'm getting ahead of myself here. I'm not sure how you guys have thought. You've probably thought about it like way more than me, but how do you handle the privacy issues that arise when you're starting to get into that kind of verification?
Yeah. So, you know, we offer a service called a humanity check, where you can verify that you are a human. Now, you can decide whether you want to do that or not. But if you verify that you are a human, we can use that without ever revealing who you are. We can just verify that it is you. So we never share the data. So it's really essentially like the zero proof, right? You're never sharing the data, but you can verify the data. And this is what we're working on right now with deep fakes, right? So imagine if I tweeted something out and I could verify that this tweet was actually sent by me. It wasn't sent by you or my dog or someone else. It was actually sent by me. How powerful that would be in today's world where there's so much fake news out there and fake information. We can do that today with Unstoppable. We can verify. Now, that comes with you have to do some sort of KYC or verification that you are who you say you are. Again, we don't store that. That's data that we protect from anybody else. But if you don't want to do that, then it's hard to verify, obviously.
One thing we haven't covered yet is your book. You have a book coming out.
Yeah, I'm really excited. So this is really interesting. So I've written a couple of new emerging tech books, but Wiley approached me to write a book about Web3. Web3 AI and the metaverse, that was easy. So, you know, we've talked a lot about how hard it is. And so what they asked me to do is to write a business fable. Now, Alex, you might be thinking, what is a business fable? I asked the same question.
I am thinking about what is a business fable.
And so instead of like just writing about the technology, I had to write a story about the technology. So I had to have a pretend company and a pretend executive and a pretend expert. It was really interesting. I have written 5 other books, but this one I had to write conversation. It's fiction. It should be easy, hopefully easy for everybody to understand. And I titled the book, The Tiger and the Rabbit. And it's a tiger, rabbit, and how to use AI, Web3, and metaverse for business success. And the tiger and the rabbit really represent approaches, if you're a brand or a company, to how you look at all these new technologies, right? I just read yesterday, I don't know if you saw that EU article. They're now branding, if you use Web3, AI, metaverse, and IoT together, that's called Web 4.0. And I do think that those technologies are the powerhouse, but there will be more. And so in the book, I also talk about how you can form a team, a rabbit team. So going down the rabbit hole, a rabbit team, not a tiger team, to really address this as a Web2 company. So I'm nervous about the book release. It's on Amazon. It doesn't actually go out until end of August.
I can actually go get it. Can I go get a copy?
You can go order it now. Yeah. But I'm really nervous to see how people, because I've written like textbooks to things before, but not fiction, kind of fictiony thing. So I'm anxious to see how people like it. And again, I try to do it because I wanted to make it easy. And that's what I'm hoping that I did.
Well, it sounds interesting and I can't wait to check it out. It's a really hard topic to tackle in the way that you're trying to tackle it. So I'm sure it was challenging. My last question, because we're getting towards the top of the show, is one that I always ask every guest. And it's, what have I not asked you that I should have asked?
What have you not asked me that you should have asked? Well, here's one question that I think is a really good question. So, Sandy, all this data now is owned by you. Do you have a DBA or a database administrator who's going to administer all this data? So, shall I answer?
Yes.
I think this is a great question. Again, I'm looking into the future. So, we are collecting more and more data about ourselves if you're in the Web3 world. And I think over time, there will be a startup. If there's not already, there should be a startup that will have an easy to use appliance for all of us to manage our data. I was actually playing with Midjourney and ChatGPT, and I said, you know, what would this appliance look like? And so it drew me some pictures of like making it as easy as your remote control to manage your data. One picture actually had it on my refrigerator where I could see where the data was being used and how many rewards I got from my data. So I think this is a great question. And I was talking to my grandmother and I thought this was interesting. She told me when she was growing up that people didn't think that you would have a refrigerator in your home, like an appliance like that. Like you have to go get blocks of ice. But today, of course, who doesn't have a refrigerator in their home? And I thought, what a great analogy, because, you know, today people kind of laugh at me when I say you'll have a data appliance in your home for your data. But I do think it will be that easy. We won't need a DBA. It'll be easily managed by us, as easy as a remote control. And we'll be able to monitor that data and see how we're doing on monetizing it for ourselves. I don't know. That's my prediction. What do you think about that?
I think that's a really good one. I had not thought of that. And the way that I had thought about it is always like in a data marketplace. You know, this is like one of the big things in crypto is like breaking down data silos and users owning data. We always talk about this stuff. The question you just posed is like this very practical thing that like it seems so obvious now that you brought it up, right? It's like, if I had custody of all my data from Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all those other places, like, and I was able to monetize that, which is the way it should be, because it's valuable. It's valuable. Right now, we just give it away for free. Obviously, I would have some kind of dashboard where I can see all that information and control it, you know, control how it's used, what people can see. I have a great example of this. Recently, I was impersonated by like 8 different accounts on Facebook, and I had no idea until people started telling me that they were getting DMs. You know, it's the classic thing, like asking for crypto, private keys, that kind of stuff. I will never DM you and ask you for your private keys. This is my public PSA. Right. But that's kind of what I was like, great, I've made it. You know, somebody's impersonating me. If I'd had this data repository, I would be able to control and change that data across everything once. You know, because I made the mistake of like giving it my real birthday, my where I live is in on Facebook, and I hadn't updated my privacy settings since I was in high school. You know, I think Facebook started like my senior year of high school or something like that. And so I've had an account that long. And back then I was not that careful about my privacy, you know, and this is a great example why this like that question you asked and the need there, it's very impactful if you just had this simple utility, this tool to manage your data, and whoever does it and does it right, that's a multi-billion dollar startup. Yeah.
Easy. I agree. In fact, I was at a Y Combinator event and I said that, and I had like 4 people come up to me going, ooh, is anybody doing it? I might do that. So who knows? You know, someone might
plus
create
like 10
that.
VCs trying to fund you to do it.
That's right. Maybe they will. I'm here. Yeah.
If you're listening, her DMs are open. You can't steal her from Unstoppable yet though. They got to get to 1 billion users first.
That's right.
Well, Sandy, thanks so much for being on the show. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. It's great fun. You're a great interviewer. So I really had a great time. If any of your listeners want to reach out, I am on, you know, Twitter and Threads and Instagram and LinkedIn. I'm anxious for any questions that you have as well.
Awesome. DM her if you have questions. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
You just heard the Index Podcast with your host, Alex Kahaya. If you enjoyed this episode, please give the show a 5-star rating and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your favorite streaming platform. New episodes available every other Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in.